This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and I call him the voice of reason most of the time because I like to bring him on and we talk the ins and outs of college sports and the way things are going. Mark, after we hung up the phone with you last week, a lot happened. We had the whole Washington Demond Williams story going on. We've got the Trinidad Chambla story going on. And some NFL stuff that I want to get your thoughts on, too, man. There's always something happening in the world of the NCAA.
Well, the one observation I'll make about college athletics right now, and you talked about the Chambliss thing, and then we had the deal going on with the Williams kid from Washington and Levitt and all these guys. And I'm like, you know what college athletics from a football standpoint, I'm sure it's the same way in basketball, we're in the middle of the portal period, if you will, for college football right now. It has become one of the most adulterous environments I think I've ever seen in my entire life. There's no loyalty. It is just who's going out to have a good time with somebody and see if you can entice them, and if you can't, you move on to the next one. And even though you think you've got a date with somebody, they're going out with somebody else. I mean, it really is kind of disgusting. It's so adulterous, it's unbelievable.
It is. We got to get to the point where we have these tight contracts, whatever, because that's just where we are.
Yeah.
But in the same conversation, Washington apparently. Reading more on this story, it's not so much that the contract couldn't have been fought over, and maybe Demond Williams could have won and got his wish. It was almost kind of like, do we want to waste our time doing that, or do you want to play football?
I'm just trying to figure out. You know, there was a time in our culture where a handshake and a man's word meant something. Well, to even suggest that should be the way it is, it makes you're get off my lawn guy. I mean, that's antiquated, that you would expect somebody to have a word that you can trust at this point, because I think, I don't know if we talked about it last time, I was on a show and I was mentioning, the Williams thing. So he commits to Washington for $4 million. 4 days later, says, no, I'm not going to. Word has it that, that LSU is talking to him. And Lane Kiffin is, and so Lane's talking to him, trying to draw him down there. Sam Levitt was at Arizona State, but he committed to Kentucky, and yet that night that Lane Kiffin is talking with Williams, Levitt sitting next to him at a basketball game in Baton Rouge, and you're like, what is going on here? Is there, I know there's no honor amongst thieves, so I guess at this point I can only assume that everyone involved in this stuff is a thief. I think I said to you a long time ago on your show, I said, what really bothers me about this is that greed and envy were always two of the seven deadly sins, and now they become virtues in the modern age of college athletics. Because there's no honor, there's no commitment, there's no consistency, there's no loyalty. It's just all, okay, yeah, I want four. Oh, wait a second, they're going to give me five. Okay, I'm going to go to the, oh, wait a second, you're going to give me six? And so that's all it is. And so we are so far beyond the point of, anytime I get on a conversation, someone's on the other side, they're always like, oh, you don't think the kids should be paid. Really? That's what you're going to stand on right now. You've got multimillionaire 19-year-olds who are just jumping from one bed to the other, and this is about them getting paid? Is that what you're saying? I mean, do you know how flimsy and how inconsistent and illogical that argument is at this point in time? And so that's what's so distasteful about all of this.
Well, and the biggest problem now, to me, is so much of what I'm hearing from coaches. Like, hey, we're asked to build a team a lot like professional teams are doing, but we don't have any guardrails up. That's like my biggest issue now. Because, Mark, you get these donors that come in. Hey, you got your payroll this year. Great. You promised them this great quarterback. You promised them this great D tackle. And then they left. I'm a donor. And I'm like, what the heck happened, Bob?
I know.
I gave you millions last year and the dudes left.
Well, Brady, look at this. So Colorado and Texas Tech had a heck of a college basketball game over the weekend. JT Toppin's an All-American. Very good player. I don't know that he's an NBA guy, but he's a very, very good college player. He is making more than Colorado's entire roster. He's making $4 million. The Anderson, Christian Anderson, I think he's in that 2 to 2.5 range. So right there you got $6.5 million, which is more than double of what the bus roster is making. And so this concept out there that somehow we've got a level playing field, and then on top of it, that, you know, Tad Boyle is being held to the same standard that Coach McCaslin is at Texas Tech or anybody else that's spending. Look at Mark Pope at Kentucky. They're spending $20 million, and they stink. I mean, so you just wonder, and, you know, Tad and I have had those conversations about, I'm expected to produce the same amount of success as the other guy, but I'm playing with one hand tied behind my back. And so that's why this has become just so ridiculous out there. And fans don't think that way, and so, you know, they whine and complain. You know, this coach needs to be fired, and I don't know. Well, that guy, technically, in Boulder's situation, that guy's doing more with less than virtually anybody in America. And so it's just it is such a illogical time and bizarro world time in which we're living in college athletics.
No, I agree. It's all over the place, and I'll admit, for like a talk show host, at first it was all like, wow, this is wildly entertaining stuff. But now, Mark, my little pea-sized brain can't keep up with all of it. Now I'm like, okay, this is just way too much. Mark, while I have you here, I wanted to ask, yep. Did you happen to see the reporter? She's all over the place today. The reporter after the Jacksonville Buffalo game that yep. basically didn't ask a question, but she just told Liam Cohen, hey, keep your head up, all that stuff.
Brutal.
Did you see that?
Yes, and it was brutal.
You didn't like the conversation from the reporter?
No, it's ridiculous. Your job is, see, we've lost the focus and the boundaries of journalism. Neil Welk and I, who wrote for many years for the Boulder Daily Cameron, it was CUBuffs.com and other outlets, and I, you know, we came up and were educated as journalists, okay? Our job is to report a story. That doesn't happen anymore. What Neil always refers to most sports reporters in this day and age as fanboys, because you see them online and, you know, somebody says something about, you know, Colorado or CSU or UNC, and they jump on and defend the program they're covering. Well, I didn't realize that reporter A was getting paid by said institution. I didn't realize that was his job. I didn't realize he was in a PR position. I thought this was a reporter we're talking about. And so I know that there are some people out there in this over-emotionalized world in which we live that saw this and thought, oh, well, that was nice. You know what is nice? It's nice if his mom calls him and says that. It's nice if his wife says that to him. It's nice if his children say that to him. It's even nice if somebody he works with the football franchise says that to him. A reporter's job is to report on the story of the game, not to play Dr. Phil in that set of circumstances, okay? Now, if she wanted to say that and wanted to do it, I still would have an issue with it if she went and would have done it afterward in a private moment. Because, once again, you're not serving as a journalist, you're serving as a cheerleader or a counselor then in that circumstance. And so that's why you don't do it. So here, for the people out there like, wow, come on, Mark, stop being so grumpy. It was really nice of her. Okay. So if that's the case then, let me ask you this. How much are you going to trust her story next time she tells you something?
And that is something I thought about. And first off, Mark, I thought you were in a good mood. You killed ducks today, and you told me you were happy and you were going to be in a good mood.
Oh, you want to hear me when I'm cranky?
No, I don't, Mark. You're quite a bit bigger than me. I've seen you. No, I don't want to see that. Here's what I guess when I first heard it. I even thought, well, that's odd. And those things did run through my brain of like, well, how are you going to trust her to be critical? Can she be critical? And I know nothing about this woman.
There you go.
But then I guess I probably went the opposite way because I started seeing all these ESPN reporters just rip it to shreds. And I guess I kind of went, hey, it's the end of the season. It's his rookie year. I don't know. I didn't take that one as bad. Now, if Broncos media is doing that to Sean Payton, if they lose to Buffalo this weekend, I guess that's somewhat of a different story for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving this one too much of a pass, but that's the way I feel.
Well, you know, I just earlier this week, or last week, I guess it was, being that it's Monday. Last week, I had a friend of mine contact me, and he had a family friend who was working on her master's degree in broadcasting and journalism at Tennessee, and she's a Colorado native, and she's back in town. He said, hey, can I take you two out for lunch, and you can just talk a little bit about the business? And so she and I met, And, you know, she's done, 21, 22 years old and all excited about the business. And we had that conversation, not about this specifically. But I used to tell my students when I taught at Syracuse and Colorado about this, the one thing you have that is your capital as a journalist is credibility. Can I trust what this man or woman says or writes? And when that woman in that circumstance, that press conference, went on and on and on about, how great this is and, keep your head up and on and on and on. Okay, that felt very one-sided. It felt as if I'm trying to perk this guy up and, so if that's what you're concerned about, are you ever going to say negative? Are you going to say that was a stupid call? Are you going to talk about how they've mismanaged the team? And so that begins to chip away at your credibility. And once you lose that, then I'm not sure if people really want to hear you or listen to you, because they never really trust you again. I've always said, even with what I do, I work for the University of Colorado, but I try to give everyone a fair assessment of the game. Sure, I get more excited when the Buffs win, right? But I get comments all the time from CU fans going, I can't believe you said that was a good call. That was the worst call ever, man. Why do you have to say that? Or, see, the other team made a big play, and you got really excited about it. Well, it was a great play. I'm trying to tell you the honest truth with full knowledge that I want to see the Buffs do well. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest about everything that happens out there. And so I think you have to hold on to that credibility. And right now what really bothers me, kind of the broad perspective on this, beyond this woman and this press conference situation, is journalism. And we know this from national polls. The trust level of journalism in America is slightly below, picking up sushi at a gas station. I mean, people really don't trust the media, and part of the problem is what we just saw. That's just one piece of it. I'm not saying that did it itself, but that contributes to what we're talking about.
Mark, let me just play devil's advocate one more on the truth teller portion of it. But yep. What if, and I don't even want to say it because I'm going to sound like a hippie if I say this out loud, but what if in this moment, her truth, and I hate saying that, Mark, so much, but in her brain, she was like proud of him for what he did for Jacksonville. She's writing, a texter says Jacksonville Free Press. So in that moment, she's writing for what he did to kind of maybe galvanize a sports community. So in that moment, her truth telling is this man, really helped Jacksonville out, helped the Jaguars out, brought us back to something. I don't know. Thoughts there, Mark?
Well, I would say this. Number one, and this may ruffle feathers for some of your listeners, okay? And you just said it make me sound like a hippie. I think one of the silliest phrases we use is my truth.
I wasn't using it in the whole, the marching all over the, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, you hear that all the time. Well, my truth or my lived experience or, that's great. There's your truth and my truth, and then there's the actual truth, okay? And that's what we got to be careful of, and that's what we're supposed to be shooting for as journalists. Now, if she grew up in Jacksonville and was just proud of what this did for the city, you can ask a question like that, or you can make a statement like that and not sound like you're working for the PR firm trying to get him a new job, right? So you can do those things.
Yeah.
But, again, you've got to be very careful how you do that kind of thing. Because I'll just say this. And we see this frequently in our press conferences up at CU. Listen to these are the ones I always get a kick out of, right here. Coach Prime will be sitting up there, and Curtis Snyder will call on somebody, and somebody go, hey, Coach, how are you? What is that all about?
Yeah, I don't like that, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you for talking to us. Well, that's a coach's job, right? Sean Payton or Deion Sanders or, pick your coach, a Tad Boyle, they're not doing this because they're doing a favor for somebody. This is their job to be there. So shut up. Don't tell them thank you for being here. You're doing a job. They're doing a job. Be a professional. Coach, question A, B, C. That's what I'm wondering about. Coach answers. Okay? That's the way this works, this concept that, see, what you hear all the time, or, Coach, how you feeling, or what's going on here, or what's going on there, or really appreciate you, or, hey, I like your, one day I was sitting in there and somebody goes, hey, I really like your hat. Oh, good Lord, what are we doing here? Really?
Mark, next time I go to press conference, you know what I'm going to say? First thing, what? I'm going to say, hey, whoever it is, whether it's Jim Mora, if CU will actually let me in the doors down there, first thing I'm going to say is, who is your best friend and when did it become me? That is going to be my first question from now on, Mark. That is what I'm going to do. And all the reporters in there are going to be like, you shouldn't be here. And then it's going to be great. And then I got a best friend out of the whole deal.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you want to come down to a CU press conference, you let me know. I'm going to vouch for you.
Okay.
I'll make sure you get in, number one.
Well, and Mark, all I did was pick CSU to win one game. And since then, I mean, come on.
I think it's some of the fans that have a problem. I don't think it's anybody internally that have a problem with you. But, you know, I guess just the thing is, and you know, you have to be there. You're doing a job. Be a professional. Ask the questions. Search for the story. Keep the commentary out of it. And though, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy, I said to this young woman the other day, have you noticed how frequently in the last 10 years in sports, one of the first questions you'll hear somebody is, how do you feel about this?
What
does that have to do with anything, right? Yeah, you know, we just got beat on a last-second field goal. What do you mean, how do I feel about it?
Well, and that's kind of my problem, too. Like, the reporter in question, and a lot of these that are pissed about it are, and I've heard your interviews. You're not one of these that I'm talking about. Yep. You know what I think of you.
Yep.
But some of these people that are so upset about this, I see some of these questions that go to these coaches in press conferences, and it's like, I think the woman in question for ESPN said, those press conferences are reserved to find out what's next. He is not going to tell you what's next. He just got done losing. They don't know who they're signing in free agency. They don't know who they're trading. So I guess in the same vein, it's like, if you're going to complain that that was a bad statement by her, then bring the questions, make the questions better, I suppose.
Well, you know, one thing you're talking about is the hypocrisy of what you're talking about right there, right? Flip on ESPN someday and watch some of the shows during the day. Right. If you want to get a lesson on how not to do journalism, just look at ESPN. Right. Because the same people that are, criticizing this woman are also some of the same people out there that, won't report on a certain conference that ESPN does not have a contract with. Well, that's not journalism. That's partisanship. And so that's where this kind of becomes a little bit hollow in that regard.
True.
But so it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black there a little bit. And so that's disappointing. But just go there, do your job. But you know, here's the other thing too. And you've been in enough press conferences, Brett. You know this. There are certain people in press conferences that are trying to be part of the show.
Yeah, no.
There are people that come there and they want to make sure they get noticed. And Sean Payton or Coach Prime or Coach Mora makes a comment about them. That makes them important, you know? If you've noticed, very rarely do I ask a question at a press conference. I want to sit there. I want to hear the stories. I want to listen. I'm trying to, figure out what the story is, what's going on as I'm following this team, as I'm covering this team. What are the storylines moving forward? What is the coach saying about them? I very rarely, but we've all been at press conferences. We can name the journalists right here in the state of Colorado, the ones that are going to make sure they ask questions to make sure they become part of the story. And so that might be, I don't know this woman, that might be a little bit what's going on there as well.
Mark, great stuff. Even though we're not 100% on the same side as this, I normally, no matter what, always love hearing you and respect your decision. Hey, last one. Mike Chambers. You remember Mike Chambers, the Denver Post writer?
Yes.
So that was a big thing, too. After the Avs won their Stanley Cup, he was taking pictures with the cup, smoking cigars with everybody.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on that?
No, that was wrong.
Really?
That was wrong as well. What, was he working for the team?
No.
No. There you go. He's a journalist. You're not part of the story. You know, if you wanted to, high-five a couple of guys, okay, fine. Don't take pictures of it. Don't promote that. Now I question everything that you write. I question your credibility. Now, if Brian up at Fort Collins or me here or Jack Corrigan with the Rockies or pick your person, right? If after a team wins a championship and we get a photo taken, okay, we work for the organizations. There's a little different position there. Okay, I think everybody understands that. You know, they know, for example, that I'm not going to go on the air and bash the Buffaloes over and over. I try to be very honest about it. I try to do so in a gentlemanly fashion, but I'm not going to bash them. And so people understand why that would be. I had a guy years ago, you need to ask this question of Dan Hawkins, and I said, I tell you what, let's go into your office on Monday, and you tell your boss how much he sucks. And then after you do that, then I'll come back the next week and tell Dan Hawkins how much he sucks. How does that sound? Well, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. Yeah, it is. That's why I'm not going to do it. But no. we can ask honest questions. And so I would say in that circumstance, working for a news outlet, no, you're a journalist. You're not part of the story. Don't make yourself part of the story.
Mark, appreciate it as always, my friend. Hey, if the Nuggets win, I just want to go give Nikola Jokic a big hug. Would that be wrong? Is that just let him hold me for a while? Is that too much?
Well, that's what you do in your private time. Not my business. So.
Well, and I think too, like with this show, I've gone off and I've ripped the Nuggets, whatever. But at the same time, on the show, we like to entertain and have fun. So I'm not. And that's why when people call me a reporter, I'm like, I am not a reporter at all.
Exactly right.
Furthest thing away.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes. You doing a sports talk show is more of an opinion piece. That's a totally different deal.
Okay, right? So I can hug Joker and I can.
I will. Okay. Yeah, you can. Now take it up with your wife. See what she thinks about it. But if you want to hug Joker, you go.
I'm going to quote tweet this later. If you want to hug Joker, go ahead and do it. People will be like, what is this show turned into? Mark, appreciate it, man. You're the best, seriously. And we'll catch up with you. So, hey, send me one of those ducks, please. I'm hungry.
Oh, man, yeah. I had a good morning. We ended up getting, got five this morning and was out there for about 3 hours. And so it was a very good morning duck hunting today.
I love it, man. Don't hold it against me, too, for using the My Truth thing. I regret it as soon as it came out. But you know what I meant. You know what I meant. All right, Mark. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Bye.
44 minutes after the hour. Yes, what I do, I get a pass. I'm sorry. I'm a radio guy. Radio guys with opinions. We get to fanboy a little bit. We get to be really, really critical. We're not always on the beat. We're here. We're stuck in this studio with Michael. I know. I have to put up with you. Tell me what to do. I'll take a freaking break.
You have to put up with me being right more often than you will admit.
I just think that I'm new age on this. I'm new age. I didn't have a problem with it. I don't think it needs to be a habit. I'll get into more of this on the other side. Because
you guys don't care about credibility.
Says Mr. I think the problem is whatever came.
I'm not a reporter.
I know, but you don't give me any. This is a talk show with real opinions, and your opinion is that the Broncos will win every single game. So you're kind of a hypocrite. A little bit.
And they're going to win this next game.
Do you admit that you're a little hypocritical? Just admit it, and we can move on.
I can be.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's all I needed. You're the world's biggest hypocrite.
Sometimes
you just
I can be
admitted
hypocritical,
it. Yes.
Like everyone else.
Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.